Okay, we've reached the final perek of Maseches Pesachim, and this last chapter is famous, known as Arfei Pesachim. It goes over the Seder, so to speak, of Leil HaSeder, what goes on the 15th of Nisan. Now, Midorais, there are three basic mitzvahs that apply to the evening that are mitzvahs Ase, central mitzvahs, which are the mitzvah to eat matzah, the mitzvah to eat the Korban Pesach, as applicable, and the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, to tell over the story and relive the experience of the Exodus for Egypt. Now, Bizman Hazeh, of course, we can't do the Korban Pesach, so we're left with those two essential mitzvahs of the mitzvah Sechilas Matzah and of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Haggadah, let's call it. And as far as the rest of the Pesach Seder, it's actually filled with a number of mitzvahs derabanan. So for sure, the arba kosos, the drinking of the four cups of wine, are a mitzvah derabanan, which applies indeed bizman hazeh. The recitation of Hallel, which is recited in the third and fourth parts of the Seder, also mitzvah derabanan. And we also have some other mitzvahs derabanan, such as the eating of the maror. Now, just let me say this for a minute now, because we won't really see it much later in the Masechta. The pasuk specifies that the Korban Pesach should be eaten al matzas umarorim, with matzah and maror. The matzah exists as a mitzvah, as it is said, all to itself, independent of the Korban Pesach. The eating of maror actually is a mitzvah d'oraisa only in the context of the Korban Pesach. It's not a mitzvah, not one of the targ mitzvahs all to itself. Therefore, when we eat maror today, it's purely midrabanan. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when we had a Korban Pesach, so we'd eat maror as well. According to most Tanaim, the maror would be eaten actually separate from the Korban Pesach. It would be eaten so you could taste the bitterness, and that would be a taste discrete and independent of the taste of the matzah and the taste of the Korban Pesach. Famously, as our Haggadah reports, Hillel Shita was that the matzah, the maror, and the Korban Pesach should be eaten together. Therefore, it says that Hillel would korech, he'd wrap them all together, kind of like a shawarma, because the matzah of Chazal were like what we call the Sephardi matzah of today. They could roll. And then it would be eaten all together. But that's the machlokas time all to itself, if they're eaten together or apart. In any case, so that's one of the mitzvahs derabanan. So now, Leil HaSeder, the Seder night, really the word Seder means order. And although when we think of Seder, we think of those 15 steps of Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, etc., which is true, but the more macro structure of the Leil HaSeder is to divide the evening into four parts, and each of the four stages comes to its like a conclusion with the drinking of one of the four cups of wine. So in other words, you have the first stage is Kiddush, and then you have the first cup of wine. The Mishnah will discuss that as one piece. Then you have the Haggadah recitation, the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah to itself, as well as at least the first half of the recitation of Hallel. Then you have the second cup of wine, that's the second part. Then the third stage is the mitzvah of matzah, maror is applicable, the Korban Pesach and the Suda, and of course benching. And then that's the third cup of wine, ends that piece, and then there's the final fourth stage, which is the second half of Hallel, which again also concludes with the fourth cup of wine. So that is the structure of the evening, and sort of, very loosely speaking, the structure of the Mishnayos, as we're going to see them right now. So we now start with the first Mishnah, Perek Yud, Mishnah Aleph, of Maseches Pesachim, 10:1. It says, Arvei Pesachim, Samach lemincha lo yochal adam ad shetechshach. On Pesach Eve, as it gets close to mincha time, I'll explain this in a moment, a person may not eat until it gets dark. Okay, let me tease that apart. There's a lot happening there. So first of all, Arvei Pesachim, we're talking here about Pesach Eve, meaning the 14th of Nisan. It's a question why it's Arvei, which means like Pesach Eves in the plural. And indeed, there are many Girsos that it's just simply should be Erev Pesachim on Pesach Eve. Whatever the case is, the sentiment means the same. What the Girs is, it means we're talking about on the 14th. And again, we're talking about restriction on eating. So that kicks in Samoch Lemincha, close to Mincha time. Mincha, you'll recall, is a reference an oblique reference not to the time we pray the afternoon prayers directly, but rather to the Tamid Shalbein HaRabayim, the afternoon daily offering that's brought, to which our afternoon prayers, the Mincha prayers, are essentially parallel to. Now, there are really two times referred to as Mincha, Mincha Gedola, Mincha Katana. Mincha Gedola refers to the earliest time one could bring the Tamid Shalbein HaRabayim, which is at what we call 6.5 hours. I'll explain that in a moment also. But we're talking about what's called Mincha Gedola, the great Mincha, if you will, which is at what I'll call now 9.5 hours. You recall from early in the Masechta, we learned that under normal circumstances, the daily procedure was they would shecht the Tamid Shalbein HaRabayim at 8.5 hours, and it would be offered at 9.5 hours. So that's what we're talking about over here, 9.5 hours. So now what do we mean by 9.5 hours? If you assume that the day time is divided into 12 equal periods, each an hour long, and you assume the day starts at 6 a.m. and ends at 6 p.m., so then 9.5 hours would mean 3:30 in the afternoon, 9.5 hours after the beginning of the day at 6. The way that, and samuch l'mincha, close to that mincha time, means a half an hour before that, which means we're pushing it back to 9 hours, meaning 3 p.m. in the afternoon, if you will, on a 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. day. The way that the Rishonim often talk about it is the beginning of the 10th hour, which is really the same thing. Why is that the same thing? Because if you think of the 12th hour as being the last hour of the day from 5 to 6 p.m., the 11th hour would be from 4 to 5 p.m., and the 10th hour would be from 3 to 4 p.m. So the beginning of the 10th hour, 3 o'clock, is the same as the 9 hours into the day at 3 p.m. Okay, so that's what we're getting at here. So the Mishnah is saying, Arve Pesachim, on the 14th of Nisan, Samach LeMincha, a half an hour before Mincha Katana. In other words, from, so to speak, 3 p.m. in the afternoon, so to speak, 9 hours into the day, Lo Yochal Adam Adje Techshach, a person that may not eat until it gets dark. Getting dark here would mean Tzeitzo Kochavim, three stars coming out, because that's the end of the, that's the beginning of a new day. And that's when the mitzvah, the mitzvos of the 15th of Nisan kick in, including Achilas Matzah, and that's what we're concerned about over here. So the way the Bar Tanura learns it, like the Rambam, is that we're talking about, and we want you to have te'avon, an appetite, when you're eating your matzos mitzvah, your mitzvah matzah, and that means you have to be hungry, and therefore don't you get too filled up by eating too close to Seder. So that means, what kind of food are we restricting? We're still not restricting chametz, because that's forbidden midoraisa from chatzos midday on the 14th. We're also not forbidding matzah-type foods, says the Bar Tanura. The reason why is because matzah is already forbidden from the 14th in the morning. The reason why is, as a heker, to sort of differentiate that this is separate, and a special eating on the 15th, there is a Yerushalmi which says, ha'ochel matzah be'erev Pesach, one who eats matzah on the 14th, kava alu rusaso bebeis chamav, it's like he's engaged to get married to a girl tonight, and he goes the day before to be with her while she is still in her father's home. Jumping the gun, eating the matzah before it's time to do the mitzvah, that's no good. Lahalacha, the Mishnah Berurah brings that the minhag is to, there are many minhagim. Mishnah Berurah comes out that from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, others even have the minhag even of not eating for 30 days before Pesach. That's Chabad's minhag and others. Whatever the case is, certainly we're not talking about restricting chametz either. So what we're left with, matzah either, which means according to the Bar Tanura, like Rambam, what we're coming to restrict here is even sort of like things that aren't really filling, like fruits and vegetables and so on. You shouldn't eat too much, lest you don't have an appetite to eat your matzah at Leil HaSeder. That's how the Rambam will paskin. Tosfos doesn't like that shot. Tosfos understands that you could eat things that are not chametz stick, that are made out of the chamishas mine dagon, the like grain products, were not for this. And the point is, we're coming to tell you not to eat like filling foods, foods that are matzbiya, that really are satiating, lest you don't have an appetite. But according to the Tosfos, and there'll be the halacha for Ashkenazim, one could eat kind of, there's no real limit on the fruits and vegetables, etc., even meat that one would eat on Erev Pesach, even after Samach L'mincha, and provided that he's not stuffed, so that he has some appetite when it comes to eating his matzah. Okay. Now, The Mishnah continues, Va'afilu ani shebi Yisrael, every Jew, even the most poor, lo yochal ad sheyasev, may not eat until he is reclining. Haseva, we know, is reclining. The haseva they had in mind is not what we do at our Pesach Seder typically, if you are like most people I know. The haseva they had in mind was the way they used to recline in antiquity, Greek, Persian, Roman times, they would be, and Mishnaic times. Royalty would be sort of eating on a couch, lying down on a couch and sort of leaning back. I'm sure you've seen the funny pictures of people, you know, those Greek people eating, being served grapes, whatever, as they lie down on a couch, that kind of thing. So we want people like to be sort of reclining on their couches, as royalty does. And the point is that every Jew has had the experience of being a ben chorin, a free man. Nowadays, I think that's to some degree lost on us, because we're not really familiar with the whole class of people who would be considered servants, slaves, as opposed to Bnei Chorin. Now we have no such thing, Baruch Hashem, but there was such a thing back then. In any case, the point is we want to experience like real freedom as land, so to speak, as like land-owning, rich, aristocratic people would, and therefore we emulate those, and even the poorest Jew has to do it that way. Someone in the pshat here is that even the poorest Jews who wouldn't own a couch like that to recline on, they have to recline as they could, meaning kind of like how we do it today, on the chair with the pillow leaning, you know, that we'll have to do. So the point is, there's a mitzvah of haseba, of reclining. Technically speaking, that mitzvah kicks in when you're eating your matzos mitzvah, as well as you're drinking your 4 cups of wine. But for reclining for the rest of the meal, etc., that's hareza mishubach, that's praiseworthy, and certainly ideal, but not me'ikra din required. Now, the Mishnah continues on. You're going to notice that Maseches Arvei Pesachim is extremely curt. Like there's very few words for the ideas it wants to say. It's very dense. And therefore, it's almost as if some words are missing, like transitional words and so on. So here is an example of that. We've really transitioned to a new topic here. We're talking now about the support the community has to provide to ensure that every Jew has what he needs or she needs to make Pesach Seder. So when we're providing for poor people in our community, the halacha is v'lo yifchasu lo me'arba kosos shel yayin. You don't provide anything less than 4 cups of wine, meaning wine for 4 cups. V'filo min ha'tamchui, even from the tamchui. Now the tamchui is a reference to the fact that there were different levels of poverty in halacha. The most poor people, we'll call them level 2 and level 3, were supported by the community directly, sort of on a regular basis. Level 1 poor would be like Maseches Peah stuff. People don't have 200 zuz. They don't know how they'll make it through the year. They're entitled to receive Maaser Ani and take from Peah, etc. But more than that, there are two other categories. There's someone who doesn't know how he'll feed himself, has enough food for the whole week. That person takes from what's called the kupa, the community chest. Then the most poor people who have no food even for today, they have literally nothing, zip, zilch, not enough food to eat for today's meals. They were provided for by means of what's called a tamchui. A tamchui literally is like a serving dish, like a soup tureen or like a serving tray, something like that. So what happens is those people had no food. So like every morning around shachar, so to speak, they'd pass around a tray. People would bring actual food, put food on that tray. Which would then be distributed immediately to the people who need food to eat now. Typically, the people who got from the Tamchoy were the poorest of the city, and even sort of trans people passing on through, just there for a short amount of time in town, whatever it is. So the point is, even if you're getting from the Tamchoy, that's like the, and therefore you're that poor and you need to be provided for that level, even if you're sort of just passing through, so you are provided for with enough for the Pesach Seder, including 4 cups of wine. One last point here. This actually is the source in the Mishnah, talking about the concision of the Mishnayos here, for the Arba Kosos per se. In other words, there's no other sentence in the Mishnah coming up saying that there's this 4 cups of wine. You'll see the structure of the Perek is sort of like, we'll go through the 4 cups and when they're drunk, but that there are 4 cups, is almost like a topic sentence, introductory point. This is it. There are 4 cups of wine. As I said before, these 4 cups are mitzvah derabbanan. They're intended to parallel the 4 lashonos of Geula, the 4 expressions of redemption that appear in the Pesukim and Shmos. The Pesukim say, V'hotzeisi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. I will take you out from beneath the burdens of Egypt. V'hotzeisi, I'll take you out. That's the first of the four. V'hitzalti eschem mavodasam. I will rescue you from your servitude. Hitzalti is the second. V'ga'alti eschem bizro natuya u'bishvatim gedolim. I will, v'ga'alti is the third. I will save you, like redeem you, with an outstretched arm. And v'lakachti eschem li la'am. And I will, lakachti, I'll take you for me as a nation. That's the fourth. So those four lashonos of Geula, v'hotzeisi, v'hitzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti, the various Mefarshei HaHaggadah, of which there are countless, have many, many nuanced understandings of what the differences between these four things and what they refer to, whether they refer to the time of Egypt per se, or if they're a reference to the chronology of Jewish history starting from Avraham, or the periods of life from Olam Hazeh, transition to Mashiach, and Tchiyas HaMeis and Olam Haba, or they parallel the four Imahos. There are many, many approaches to what the differences between these four expressions are, but be that as it may, there are these four distinct stages or phases or ideas, aspects to the redemption, as expressed by these four words in the Pesukim, there in Shmos Perek Vav, and therefore Chazal were Mesaken that we'd have four cups of wine, paralleling those four stages of redemption. Okay, so that's the end of the first Mishnah, and we'll now go on to Mishnah Beis, talking about the preparation of the first kos for Kiddush.